From the Terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio with the Cambridgeshire Football Association, promoting football at all levels across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
Evening, everyone, and welcome to another Terraces. We've got both Matt and Stu in the studio today. We've got definitely Lance on the phone, as long as he's not away from this house. We've got Steve on the phone, as long as his battery's not run out. We've got Mark on the phone, as long as he gets back to me. And there's any chance that Robbie Nightingale might come on. If you want to get in touch with us, you can. All the usual ways to do that. You can text 07919 070490. That's 07919 070490. Or you can email studio at cambridge105.co.uk. An interesting week, top of the table clash between Histon and Stowmarket finishes in a draw. Cambridge City get back to winning ways and how. A hat-trick from Josh Ironson in a 6-2 win against, Yaxley even. I think Laxley's on the arch, isn't it, I think. Shouldn't say things like that, should I? Cambridge United, what can we say? More of the same, lots of possession, lots of domination, but we still lose. So we'll come back to that one later on. Regular roundup from Stuart of everything that's going on outside of the teams that we cover, and again we'll have a look at the women's football as well. So get in touch 07919 070490 if you've got anything to say about the football this weekend, and we'll start as we usually do with Cambridge United. Apologies there, I forgot to thank Polish Waves for the previous hour. They even played an Angelic Upstarts track, although it wasn't by the Angelic Upstarts. I think it was a cover, but there you go. Okay. Did you go?
I didn't go yesterday.
Oh, hang on, let's try turning. You didn't go.
No, I didn't go yesterday. I decided that after Tuesday night's, capitulation again, I thought I'd better take a week off and have a break from the misery. So I'm relying on you and Keith to keep me posted.
It's difficult because at the end it was the same result as we've had over and over again, but I think it was slightly different, although it's not going to be of much consolation to anyone, in that it was one of those games where genuinely this week we've heard a lot about chances and the fact that we can't take them, and we've had strictly accurate descriptions of what went on. The goalkeeper saved it, but kind of missing the point that the ball was hit straight at the goalkeeper. This time round, the keeper got Man of the Match award for Crawley, and deservedly so. He probably saved three certain goals with proper saves that he had to move around and put over and out and round and catch. So from that perspective, better than it has been in terms of they were real opportunities on goal. But again, the same thing. We dominated virtually the entire first half. I think 35 minutes of the first half were played in Crawley's half. And we don't score. And the thing is now, if we're making chances that are forcing saves but still not getting anything, that kind of highlights the problem of a lack of real striking talent at the club. Not a shortage of people generally, but particularly if we can't put those opportunities in, even if it's one of them. The first half, I think, was 11 or 12 shots on target in the first half alone. They had three shots on target in the entire game and scored two. You're not going to win games. You can't win games if you're playing like that.
Becoming an expert in different kinds of ways to lose. the old go ahead and fall behind. You've got the old capitulate from the start. You've got the old play really well and lose. They say good teams need to know how to win games. It seems like bad teams need to know how to lose
games
in different ways. But I think it's becoming less and less about the team at the moment and, threatening to become swallowed by other stuff that's going on. And, it's just a crazy situation that's threatening to take the club over,
Yeah, it's... It is really difficult because if you look at the sentiment on social media, there's a few people calling for Dunn's head, but mostly it's fairly supportive of what he's done, and the general opinion is he's been thrown under the bus, he hasn't got anything he needs, and there are too many people deciding what goes on in the club where they shouldn't be necessarily. And there is a lot of sympathy for him. And, you know, don't get me wrong, up front, he's a really nice bloke. He's one of the nicest people I've met. And I've got all the time in the world for him. He's very articulate. He's, you know, he's a real footballing brain. He sits there. You get the idea that when he goes home, he doesn't say hello to his wife and kids. He just turns the telly on and watches football games. And that's all he does, because he'll come up when you're chatting with him. Off the top of his head, he'll go, oh, yeah, that was like Toshack in 1975, and you know the way he pulled the ball, the way with Keegan played the ball through, blah, blah, blah. He's got an example in a game for virtually anything that goes on. Really nice bloke, but he's starting to worry. I mean, the post-match yesterday, we'll play it a bit, was kind of the, you know, if I get a chance to continue, I'll do my best while I'm here, but it's in somebody else's hands now, which is really sad, because I don't think he deserves it.
It's, what's the old saying? Nice guys finish last.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's looking like that at the moment. And as much of a nice guy, I mean, I've never spoke to Joe, but from what everybody says that have spoke to him, and the way that, you know, you listen to him on the radio, you know, he is a polite man, and he pulls no punches after all the dross and the media rhetoric we got from Derry and all of his football cliches and fine lines and all of this. You know, Joe comes out and he tells you the truth. You know, we're not good enough.
Yeah, and the thing is actually he's probably got more reason to talk about fine lines than Derry ever did.
Yeah.
Because it is fine lines when you go and put that many shots on target and they force some really good saves from the keeper. But unfortunately, I think, you know, that word is tainted forever and will never be used in an interview again. Yeah. But even if it's true, you can't go through a season sort of ruining the fine lines. We're in the relegation zone. And although it was a much better performance, the fact that we still didn't score goals, apologies for that, I'll turn that silent. Apart from, you know, we still didn't score goals, and therefore I still can't see how we can move forward. And that's the real issue. In fact, if anything, although it was a better performance, it's perhaps more worrying that even when we put in, you know, I mean, Keith says, in fairly miserable conditions on Saturday, watch the U start very brightly. I'd go so far as to say we possibly played the most attractive and attacking football we've played all season. And I think that's a genuine reflection in the game. And you kind of do. I mean, Derry, I was going to call him. God, that's a terrible slip of the tongue. Dunn kind of, you know, he came out and said, you know, it's difficult to see how you can lose a game like that. And it was, except for the fact 15 chances produces no goals, 3 chances produces 2 goals. That's how you lose the game.
It's just, to be brutally honest, the players ain't good enough, you know. Not all of them. By any means, there's 3 or 4 players there, but I did my homework. I caught out the 2 teams the other day, the team from the day we got promoted and the team that played Forest Green, and I put them both next to each other, and I think we probably improved in 2 positions in 4 years. Bradley Halliday at right back, and we probably have a slightly better central midfield now. But that view was backed up by a couple of those players texting me and saying the same, agreeing. It's not good enough, you know.
The interesting thing is, I know where you're coming from, and I think as a team, certainly, despite having a change of personnel, we haven't got much better. It's interesting that you look at the likes of Reggie Lamb at times and Giovanni Brown at times, and I think this is the recurring theme, and Maris at times. You know, it's always they've got the potential to be better if they could just be more consistent. But that's the issue: if you can't be consistent, then you know it's no good.
They've got potential, but you know, players at step 4 and step 5 in non-league have got potential. You're there for a reason. Reggie Lamb is a journeyman to all intents and purposes. He was a top target in the summer. He's 27 years old. He's just been released by Carlisle United. Now, is that, you know, we were 11 points off the playoffs last season. Are a journeyman from Carlisle United and a journeyman from Mansfield Town I'm not going to mention Louis John because that would be ridiculous because he's come from non-league.
He's the brightest signing of the summer without a shadow of doubt. We've said this over and over again.
He's, you know, 10, 12 games into his league career. But, you know, what does it say? You know, what does it say about the team? Has anything about the club progressed? I challenge either of you or anyone else to tell me what has actually progressed since we've returned to the league.
And that's the thing is, if we go back to the summer after we were promoted, and okay, you kind of get, everybody gets caught up in the euphoria of getting promoted and winning the cup, and it's like, you know, everyone had big hopes of getting up into League One, you know, perhaps 2 years away. And I think, you know, if you look back on it now, the ambition may have been there, but we know that the money's not been there to back up the ambition. And nowadays, okay, you can get lucky, you can be Accrington. Is it Accrington who went up last year? Accrington, who go up on a very small budget. But generally, you buy your way at least up the leagues, not necessarily promotion, but you need to spend money. Forest Green have tried it unsuccessfully over a while, and now it's starting to come good for them, potentially.
I agree when you say that the teams who tend to do really well spend money, but there are a lot of teams. Torquay and York both made the playoffs in League Two. Dagenham enjoyed a season above. Hartlepool have been in League One. Chesterfield, Colchester, Yeovil got in the Championship. Walsall are competing in League One. With all due respect to these teams, Cambridge are not any smaller than any of those clubs, and it's just sensible, you know, even 15 years ago, you have to look at the forward thinkingness. You know, teams like Bournemouth and Swansea, it seems a long way away now, but we were literally at that level, you know, all that years ago. And now, in 2006, we got relegated from the Football League with no money and worried about the future. What position are we going to be in 2019? We'll have no money.
Out of business, I think, at this rate.
That's 13 years. Yeah. And a lot of those people, you know, you know, it goes a lot deeper than a defeat to Crawley, but, you know, it is football. Things can change. Things do change. So there's reasons to be positive as well as negative.
I think there's
harder,
more.
Harder to find them at the moment.
Yeah, you have to be a real optimist now, I think. So Keith, let's get back to Keith's email. I was wary that Crawley lacked any quality or creativity, but at half-time I was optimistic for what might come in the second half. Strangely, at the same time, I could foresee a familiar pattern emerging and confidently posted on Facebook to predict a second-half collapse. I wasn't wrong. We continued to play well. I thought O'Neill had a better game in midfield than he had against Forest Green, where he was pretty anonymous. Lamb, Giovanni and Aziz looked like they might create something with some reasonably crisp passing, but there was no real end result. I imagine Crawley were aware of our current form and turned the screw for 5 minutes. We sat back briefly and then conceded. Heads went down and there was no coming back. It was very frustrating to watch. And I think, I mean, that was the view of everyone, is that we all felt at half time that on one hand this could be, you know, we build from the first half, we carry on with the pressure and eventually it'll come, or we've tried and tried and tried, we've not managed to score, we'll do what we usually do now, concede, put our heads down and concede a second, third, whatever, however many times. And, you know, those were the two options we had. I was pleased to see Aziz on the team sheet because I wanted to see him for 90 minutes. I can't decide if he's ever going to come good. The problem, I think, Aziz's problem is pre-season flattered him massively, scoring as many goals as he did pre-season. And people said, you know, well, but he's playing against, you know, lower opposition. And it's true, he was playing against lower opposition. But he did look so good that you thought, okay, it's not going to be quite as good as this, but it is going to be good. And since then, he's really, you know, he's not promised anything. Plenty of chances, but nothing, you know, nothing coming. He's just not scoring in the way that we'd want him to. It seems like a great striker is desperate to burst out of him, but at times goes on, he just doesn't appear to be the answer. I'm not sure I can even remember what the question was, to be honest. We've been ruined by summer of no transfer dealing on relying on players that are not up for the now inevitable relegation battle that looms on the horizon. We're in free fall. Dunn's hands are tied. Sacking him will make no difference. We'll come back to that in a minute. Any loans that come in after New Year will be immediately under too much pressure to perform, and we could potentially be so far adrift it'll be irrelevant. I found myself considering the benefits chance of dropping back into the Conference, not sure there's many of them. Would all contracts become void if that happened? No, that's not the way it works, is it? You've offered contracts.
I wish.
You've offered contracts to players. It's going to be something you're going to have to deal with.
They might all walk out anyway.
Well, I was going to say, the decent ones. See, the problem is that with the decent ones, we'll move.
All three of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think they'd have anywhere to walk, to be honest.
It may be our best chance to get rid of all the big wage hangers on in the squad, wipe the slate clean and start another decade-long climb back to the EFL. It's the kind of ridiculous gamble our misguided board of directors might just be considering. I'd suggest the players pull their socks up, throw away their coloured boots, put on some black ones and play like they care. The fans that travelled yesterday never got on their backs as they played reasonably well, and they need to try even harder. I mean, that's probably the fairest summation of the game and what's going on. We did play well yesterday. We were, you know, on one hand we were unlucky not to win, but then you can't keep being unlucky by dominating and not scoring and giving away goals when nobody, you know, when they're not getting the shots on goal. So there's got to be more to it than unlucky. Getting rid of Dunn wouldn't make any difference.
You could literally hire Guardiola tomorrow and he would still be at the will of the inept, useless, backwards-thinking men that we have in charge of the football club at the moment.
Tell you what, don't pull punches. Tell it like you think it is.
I think at the end of the day, you know, yes, Joe Dunn's hands are tight, and absolutely. But at the end of the day, there's absolutely no doubt he does still need to get a little bit better out of this squad. If he's got to drop some of these big-name players and bring in some of these youth players to give them a chance, you know, let's shake it up a little bit, because at the moment there's too many of them that are comfortable and quite happy when we go 1-0 down to sit back and take another defeat. And they're not showing any passion, they're not showing any sort of anger towards each other or anything. We just fold like a pack of cards and we're an easy soft touch. Now, you know, at the end of the day, what's the point in having these young players coming in and out and back out and back in again? Let's give them a go. What genuinely are we worse are they going to do?
But who are you talking about when you say the youth players?
Well, you've got Leon Davies at right back. Tom Knowles. Brad Halliday's had a shocker of a season this year. He doesn't look the same player, the best players last year. And maybe he needs to come out. Maybe he needs to move forward and go play it at right wing, because he seems to be better going forward than he is defensively. At least two of them could do a defensive job at right back, for instance.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
That's just one instance.
So the scepticism on your face, particularly when Tom Knowles was mentioned. The thing we were chatting about this at half time yesterday. Although, given the mood we were in, it seemed a bit pointless. But Tom Knowles, I felt so sorry. I don't know who it was behind the goal, but Tom Knowles absolutely leathered the ball, and it caught somebody square in the side of the head and absolutely knocked him onto the floor. Tom Knowles immediately went across and apologised and made sure he was all right. Then the stewards came across. But the thing is, at times you kind of think, okay, you've got to be careful getting someone like, you know, a young lad like Tom Knowles into the side that's losing. The pressure is right up there. It may actually do him no good at all, but it certainly can't do it. We can't be any worse off with bringing in some of these young players.
But you're in danger of ruining these players. To be brutally honest, again, I think only maybe Tom Knowles, Harry Darling, and Liam Davis, potentially Jordan Norville Williams. There's only four players who could come into the team anyway. One of them's a left back, one of them's a right back. You can't play them together because you're just asking for trouble there.
And the interesting thing is, actually, we kind of wondered whether Jordan Norville Williams, being left back, would actually be in with Carroll being suspended, but they chose in the end the safer option, which was to move Greg Taylor back.
I mean, he's got a bit about him. He came from Arsenal as a kid. He's a good footballer. But again, the only scepticism about Tom Knowles isn't, I'm not doubting him as a player. But again, if he comes into a team and he's a winger and he's being asked to step up, then he's got to track back. He's got to think about going forward. When I watched him last season, his main asset is his pace.
Yeah.
And he runs the danger. You saw how cut open the team were at Colchester. If he gets cut open once or twice, then he's just as difficult as it was with Harry Darling when Harry Darling was thrown in the deep end. You know, and you need to kind of pick and choose these moments. You've got the FA Cup game, whoever we get, will be coming up early, in early November. That'd be a laugh, getting knocked out by a 7th division team. So you couldn't even think about throwing him in there, because, you know, I'd love to see him in the team, obviously.
I suspect he'll play on Tuesday.
Yeah, I would love to see these boys in the team, but I just think...
I think at the moment we need somebody to go out there and make an impact. Now, if you're seeing one of your youth prospects coming on, and we've got no wingers in the football club at the moment, he's basically the only one. Dunk's injured, Amu's having the, you know, winter off. So who else have we got? You know, you're playing Giovanni out of position. You either play Maris out of position. If he's an impact player and he's got pace going up against tired legs for the last sort of 20, 30 minutes, what's the problem with doing that? We do it for Cole.
Yeah.
You know, even though he's obviously taken another, you know, sick note of absence again, same with Jarbo, you know, we're down to nothing. So it's either we play these guys and give them a go, because let's be honest, that's what we might have next year. You know, they might be the first names on the sheet. They've got to go at some point.
I think you're right. You've got to be careful with you bringing youngsters into the side. But at some point, you know, in a club that's doing what we're doing, they kind of, you know, they're paid by us. They've kind of got to accept their responsibility. Perhaps you don't keep them in there. You bring them in and out. But it is the, I would say, I'm sure they'll all play on Tuesday in the excellent game that will be Southampton under 21. I thought it was under 23s, not under 21s, anyway.
In the boat,
Tuesday night, under lights, get your tickets now, because I'm sure it'll be a sellout.
And then things get a lot easier in the league.
So. Yeah, I was going to say, then you've got Milton Keynes, Lincoln, Swindon, and, it's not a good next few weeks in the league.
And Macclesfield's first win of the season.
Yeah.
27th of October.
Yeah, so, it's difficult, but I know we talked about this last week. It was mentioned after the game 2 weeks ago, is whether, rather than worrying about whether you sack Joe Dunn, which I think is not going to help, is whether you look to get him some help. And that, I mean, it's an interesting idea. It's not, I don't think I've ever come across a club that's employed someone else to help on a short-term basis. But it might be just what he needs, because, you know, I don't think... You know, again, Mark Bonner's a nice bloke and everything, but I don't think he's necessarily got the experience to dig deep and kind of figure out what's going wrong any more than Joe has. And I think someone with more experience, someone who's prepared to be a bit harder on the players, might actually be just what's needed. But it'd be a brave move to do it, because it'd be spending more money, and people would criticise if it didn't work. But
I mean, I've been called crazy for saying this by a few people over the years, and I know it wouldn't be him personally, but look at the job that Barry Fry continues to do at Peterborough with the money he brings in, the players, the nous that he has. You know, you've got people like John Steele, Paul Fairclough's England C manager. He's got a cushy little job. What do you fancy a last hurrah helping out in a consultancy role in the Football League? Find us a few players. John Steele, he's got the expertise. You know, players kind of like this who kind of muck and nettles, and you don't have to give them a full-time permanent job, but just say, come in, give us a hand. Someone who's nasty, someone who's, you know, going to shake things up a little bit. There must be free agents out there who put themselves in the shop window for a couple of months before January, you know. But is our board forward thinking enough? Nah, they'll just go to church on a Sunday and stick their head in the sand.
I'd like to see it, but I don't think it'll happen, because I don't, it's not something that's tried anywhere else, so you'd be kind of...
It's a good thing in theory. I do think Joe Dunn needs somebody next to him. We can't have John Steele, because he's manager of Barnet, so he's doing a job, so he won't want to come up.
I can't think of anyone off the top of my head.
Paul Fairclough, I don't think will either, because
Graham Wesley's available.
No, absolutely not. Graham Wesley gets involved in this football club, I'm off. We don't have the budget for
Graham
Wesley.
So we'll wrap up with the second bit. Lynchy says, didn't go to the game, quite frankly, because I didn't want to waste my day and money, as we've been a shower of rubbish this season, and it had another bottle job defeat written all over it. However, I did manage the effort to listen to it on the radio, and yes, we did absolutely better than them in the first half without scoring. Shock horror. People were commenting on the Facebook pages at half time how good we were, and I just replied back, this has got the old Crawley shot on goal and defeat written all over it, and that's it. That's exactly what it was. There's no point in putting in a wondrous half performance if we can't score a goal. A good striker would have had a field day against the poor Crawley side, but the players we currently have couldn't score in a I'm glad he's put in a brother. I don't think he means that, but even with O'Neill's wages, please don't give credit to their keeper for keeping them in the game, as I've looked at the highlights and they were dead and they were bread and butter saves for a keeper, but that's only because we have no natural instinct finisher. I haven't seen the highlights. They did look like very good
one
saves.
One looked good. Yeah. I will give him one.
Okay.
Minute,
but that's 1-0 at half time. So I'm calling you out, Graham Daniels. Come on to Calms 105 and face some proper questions from fans and pundits and have the balls to give some honest answers back. Interestingly, there is a meeting coming up with the board, and anyone who has questions.
We have they're actually about, blimey.
Yeah. it's several of them as well.
It's several.
Yeah, several
my
of
God.
Them. So, if you've got any questions, then email them in. Yeah, well, where's the money is obviously
where's
one.
Money?
Where's our competitive budget is the second one, but they're related.
We lost 400 grand on soccer skills.
The point he made about the reason we have three strikers is an absolute cop-out. We all knew as fans three strikers were clearly not enough, and I personally said to your show at the start of the season, come October, November, we'll have a game like Luton last season where we'll start with no strikers in the squad. Already down to one is an absolute joke. We're linking away in a couple of weeks. It's got 6-0 written all over it, and I think that's it. If you've got games coming up, you really don't want MK Dons, Lincoln and Swindon in three consecutive weeks in the league after the distraction of the Checker trade. And as you say, Macclesfield, having just won a game, you know, they could be winning a game. Grimsby, we've got after that, have started to win games as well. I mean, it's not looking good. We talked before about, you know, you could easily get into, Morecambe in middle just before Christmas, before we see a win. And, you know, at the moment, you can play as well as you want. If you don't score goals, it's impossible to win a game without scoring a goal. That's the basic thing in football.
And away crowds are only going to go down if you look at those four games.
I can't remember what did they say yesterday. I think they said 214 yesterday at Crawley. 214 yesterday at Crawley, very low.
And they're still fairly kind of Crawley. Obviously not that close, but in November you got Crawley, Oldham. Oldham, Tranmere. And I think there's another long distance one. Still not playing well, you know. There ain't going to be the support there.
Well, and crew on a Tuesday night, is there?
There'll only be about 50. Well, I'm going to go to that, actually. So
like, my parents live just down the road from there, so I'll always go to that one anyway.
Christmas, get that one in the diary.
That'll get cooled off.
Sunning yourself on the
that'll
beach.
That'll get washed out.
Yeah, I was going to say, washed or snowed out.
Be by then, so.
So, there you go. So, it's a miserable pitch when you look at the league. Now, 1 point into the relegation zone, played 12, with a grand total of 8 points from 12 games. Only Macclesfield worse than us with 4 points, Northampton on 9 points, Cheltenham on 9 points, Morecambe on 10, Grimsby on 11. It's just doesn't make for good reading. And if you look at the summary of the last games, as you can imagine, five losses from six with a draw in the middle of that is by far and away, well, not by far and away, but it's the worst record in the league over the last six games. The only one who comes close is Macclesfield, who are beneath us. So it is what it is, and what it is not very good. It's Tuesday night under lights, Southampton under 21 in the Checker Trade Trophy. I reckon they'll be pushing to get 150 there with the way it's going at the moment. And then Milton Keynes at the Abbey on Saturday. It's going to be an interesting game, but again, I think it's going to be a very difficult one. They're undoubtedly a better side than we've played recently, and then the build up Lincoln coming after that. I think not a great couple of weeks coming up, but that's what it is. So we'll take a break, we'll come back and we'll talk about Histon.
Across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
From the terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio, with the Cambridgeshire Football Association, promoting football at all levels across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
When we come back, we'll be talking all things history.
Out in the country, far from all the subtle noise of the city.
So, we'll see. I didn't get a text back from Mark, so we'll see if he's going to answer the phone. Bear with me a second while... I thought the phone system wasn't working then. Let's see if we can get hold of Mark and whether he's got anything to say. Hang on a second. If not, we'll go straight to Lance. But it's ringing, which is always a good thing. Well, hey, Mark.
Can you hear us? Yeah, I can. Sorry, line's a bit bad, but I can just about make you out.
Excellent. So, top of the table clash and a draw, I guess a good result.
I think we would have taken it beforehand. That's not like that's not to put a negative spin on it or anything, but you know, when you look at their side and what they've achieved last year and what they're trying to do this year. You know, it's no secret that they're ploughing money into their project there, and you know, they've made vast improvements on and off the field. So certainly, as we've said before, it's you know, they're one of the teams that will be in contention for promotion. So I think it's a solid point at the end of the day. It's one that we would have taken, and a bit of a shame that we went ahead and couldn't quite hold on to it, but. You know, I think it was a bit of a rotten day for football, and it was end-to-end. So I think to come out with a point, actually, in the end, is pretty positive.
You look at the league table. There, you've played two more games, and then you've got two points over them at the top. Godmanchester played the same as you, and they're 3 points behind. So in principle, Godmanchester win their games in hand, and they're up there above Stowmarket as well. If you're not going to win, you at least want to draw. So from that perspective, you know, not too bad.
No, I think. What we were saying as well, you know, they're going to be tough clashes, obviously both home and away, but especially away from home. Of course, if you're a strong team, you're always going to fancy your chances at home. So I think definitely Stowmarket probably would have been in that position. So it's good to be solid away from home. And then, you know, I'm pretty sure when we get the big teams at home, we'll fancy our chances. You know, we get a good crowd and... just, I guess the stadium itself and the atmosphere at the Glasshouse at the moment, I think definitely we'll fancy ourselves, certainly against God Manchester in, what is it, a little under 2 weeks' time, I think it is, and when Stowmarket visit, which I think is sort of next year. So it's pleasing, really. And not only that, but it keeps the run going as well. Obviously, we'd like a win, but of course, a point keeps you ticking on the board, and it's another one to add on to the run of undefeated sort of games. So I think that's now three or four games where we haven't lost, and hopefully we can keep that going.
And you've got the local CFA Cup against Wisbeach on that's Tuesday, isn't it? Followed by then the Vars against Colney Heath before you move on to Godmanchester in the league. The Vars is obviously a welcome distraction because there's money in it. The CFA Cup perhaps less of a perhaps more of a distraction, but you know, it gives you a chance to try players out, I suppose.
Yeah, well, I think as Lawrence has said before, we've got a slightly bigger squad compared to last year in terms of the strength and the depth and just the numbers that you can rely on. And of course, you know, when you've got cup games, that gives you a chance to rotate the squad, to rest legs, to try some other players that perhaps haven't been fortunate enough to get as much time as they want on the pitch. So, you know, it helps. And, of course, we've got less league games this season compared to last. So I think the Cups will be a welcome addition, and certainly the FA Vars, where there's actually a bit of money to be made. But not only that, but the golden prize of actually playing at the home of football. So, you know, that'll be huge. And it's such a tough competition, it really is, but you know, fantastic day out on offer if you can make it all the way. So it's certainly a big incentive, and I'm pretty sure Lance will want us to go for it, because like you say, there's the money there, but there's also sort of the prestige behind it as well. And of course, also it helps you, again, if you know, if you can make it all the way, it helps you getting into that rhythm of getting games under your belt, but not only that, but going undefeated and keeping that run going. So certainly it'll be one that we're targeting for sure.
Excellent. Well, let's find out what Lance has got to say about those. Now we'll give him a call. Thanks very much for joining us, Mark. Cheers.
Cheers, Tim.
So there we go. That's Mark. Let's try and get Lance on the phone. Keith texted in. We got 441 at Crawley. So I swear that was the number that I thought they announced at half time. There weren't 441 there. You weren't there, so you can't comment on it. And we did have a discussion about what we thought the real number was, but it doesn't look like that was the number. I'm not sure. Why is that not?
Maybe they included Crawley fans in the way. Maybe we were so desperate.
That's not ringing. Hang on a second. No. That's interesting. I can't.
He's ringing.
I have to listen to it ringing on there because unfortunately the pre-fade isn't working for some bizarre reason. So bear with us while we now get his answer phone.
Give your name and number. I'll get back to you.
Ah, no. Lance is always managed to be busy just at the wrong time. We won't be able to have a chat with him. What we'll do is we'll come back to that later on. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll talk about City.
Connecting our city and South Cambridgeshire. Cambridge 105 Radio. From the terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio, with the Cambridgeshire Football Association, promoting football at all levels across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
Right, we'll try and get hold of Steve. Steve has actually sent me a report because he wasn't sure whether his battery would last for the required amount of time. So let's see if we can get hold of him. And if we can, then he can come and talk to us about it. But if he can't, then we have got a report. I don't know what's going on with this. The pre-fade has just completely stopped working, so I can't hear. And that was his voicemail that we were actually getting. So let's just grab his messages. We're so professional here, honestly. It's great. Let's just grab his message and see what he had to say. Now, did he send it me? I've now got to go and figure out how he sent it to me. He sent me an email, so let me just have a quick look at the emails. Bear with me. Okay, just in case the battery died. A great win that'll be remembered for a brilliant hat-trick by Josh Oyenson. During our chat last week, you asked if we rely too much on Hall and Sharman, and I think the answer was there. We have a lot of goals across the team. Added to the fact that the main two do keep scoring, it has the makings of us continuing a good run. Up to second is pleasing, albeit played more games. We still gave away customary silly goals, which briefly allowed Yaxley back into it, but confidence is high. Provided we convert our good away performances into more points, we are in good shape. Next week's a tough one at Peterborough. Peterborough Sports. We've been going well. However, it's a trophy game. We should play with a bit of freedom. I know Robbie and the club will want to do well in this competition, so it should be a good game. Pleasing run with some good football played. Let's hope it continues. Let's see if we can get hold of Robbie, and again, bear with me a second while I see if I can make this work without broadcasting everything in the ringtones. Oh, that's better. It's actually doing it now. It's ringing. No. Hey, Robbie? No, unfortunately, that's not there either. We're not having much luck this week, are we? It's going to be one of those weeks. So, can't get hold of Robbie, can't get hold of Lance. I guess from Lance's perspective, it continues to go according to plan, I guess you'd say. I mean, you can't really argue with what's been going on there. You could call it if we gave a goal away and we should have won the game, then that's fine. But you're not going to be unhappy about that, really, are you?
No, they didn't lose the game. You know, Ed Rolfe got another goal. Still got 2 points in hand. Next home game's good Manchester. I think out of those two games, you'd take 4 points. Good Manchester in the league. The next game's good Manchester. You'd really want to win that game. Albeit, they wanted to go there and win yesterday. But it's a good point. Stonemark are the out-and-out favourites, probably. Tuesday night is a massive banana skin. Wisbeach lost to Felixstowe Reserves yesterday. Felixstowe Reserves having lost all of their league games and conceded over 60 goals.
60 goals this season?
This season, yeah. Wisbeach.
Blimey, that's impressive.
So Wisbeach managed to lose to them yesterday. They'll go there wanting to prove a point at Easton, but Easton, it should really be a case of how many, with all due respect, rotate the squad. I think Ed and Dan maybe might get a rest in that game. And then Colney Heath, completely unknown quantity. I know Lance went there last week. It'd be interesting to see what happens. Being top of the Furlough None, they are one of the highest ranked teams in the FA Vars, and with their cup history.
And then it's Godmanchester Rovers, and I think you were there at the away game at the end of last season, which for me marked a real turnaround in the way Histon seemed to approach their football. They took the game to them. Max York was sent off, wasn't he?
Yes.
Quite early on in the game, but it was a very physical game, and they took it to Godmanchester. And I said to Lance after that must be irrespective of the result, which was a good one. Then that it was the performance I think that really marked Histon as a changed team for me that week. That it was a midweek, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And they've already played early this season as well. I think the fact that so many of the players know each other, it will be a battle. It will be kind of a one-off kind of game, as they are. I think it'd be really interesting clash of styles. Should be a big crowd Friday night. Should be really, really interesting. Should be a good event. And it'd be interesting to see what kind of how it goes, because the first game is a bit of a surprise. And as you say, last season that really was a turning point. Coddy were on fire, and Histon had to withstand a lot. And I think, that raised a lot of eyebrows and made people sit up.
And then looking at Cambridge City, I mean, it is interesting. Obviously, the lower leagues, they tend to have this problem where, because of cup involvements and call-ups and everything, where you can at this stage already have played nearly twice as many games as the two teams below you. So you're looking, you're second in the league, but they're 3 points behind, having played one more game than Bromsgrove. And then Corby and Peterborough Sports have both played three games less. And they're a point ahead of them, so it looks really good. But as you say, you've got to then temper that with the fact that you could be down as low as seventh with the way the games are panning out at the moment, which makes it very difficult. But I guess that's the nature of cup runs. Everyone wants them, and you want to get on.
And it's a bit more tricky this season as well because of the reshuffling leagues. So a lot of those teams are unknown quantities. For City, you don't know what to expect. You look at the likes of Bedford and Corby and AFC Dunstable from familiarity, but I think as a step three, a lot of the teams who are coming across, Peterborough Sports being a great example, are upsetting the apple cart, as it was upsetting the form book, and doing really well, albeit it is in the drive for you next week. But these two games against Yaxley and Peterborough Sports will provide a really good kind of microcosm of the season, because they are the two most local teams. They are two teams who want to do well. They are two teams who they haven't played before for a long, long time. Yaxley have come a long way. City may have fallen. So it is interesting. They have to. Cambridge City will always be the favourites. So it's about playing their game and doing their thing. It should be interesting, and it is good to see Josh is a really, really good player. He's a handful, he's got it all, really, and yesterday just showed that. And now the trick is not to become a non-league striker that does this sporadically, but to showcase all of his talent, because he's got it all. And him and Hall and Sharman, that's potentially a 50-60 goal trio.
And that's it. You look at the goals that have been scored. Six goals for Hall, I think it's four or five for Sharman, four or five for Josh, Nelson Addy chipping in. I mean, they have got lots of people scoring goals, which is great for them.
They've got a hell of a lot of talent in that squad. And Lewis Whitehead, I know he hasn't scored yet, as I keep reminding him, but he keeps being mentioned in setting up goals, getting involved. He's making a step up from Newmarket. It will take him time, but he's getting involved as well. Nafola Kanmi is a real handful. So it's all looking good for City at the moment. They've just not keep all 11 players on the pitch, keep playing their football, you know, and get the rubber green a couple of times. If they can get into their stride,
yeah,
I think they'll be hard to stop.
And 190 people watching a game at that level is good for them. It bodes well for the new stadium.
It's phenomenal for them, phenomenal for local football.
Yeah.
And hopefully we get a similar number next week. It's obviously Cambridge versus Peterborough again at another level. Jimmy at Peterborough knows Robbie. You know, it's really good.
So, talking of local football, let's get a roundup of what's happened outside of the three clubs we covered. And while that's Stu's doing that, I'll get to the women's results. So, over to you, Stu.
Thanks. So, I want to say today I was quite shocked on Twitter that Janet Ashby. First comment I want to make is that this is a woman who's been involved in Newmarket Town for a long, long time, and friend of mine, devastated to see her leave. So I just want to wish her all the best. Interestingly, tonight something else has come out: Huntingdon Town managerial change. The old gaffer Bratsy, who came back to help Dan out, Dan's now left, so Bratsy's back in control. Could have all been avoided over the summer, but it's good to see him back. Results yesterday, I was at St. Neots. St. Neots is a brilliant comeback from 2-0 down against Colville. Fantastic. Unfortunately, St. Ives did bow out, but they're at York City. That's no surprise, really. Tough day, I keep saying, is at step four. The Bostic for Millwall and Sarum, they both lost again. Wisbech were beaten at home. Difficult. The North Eastern League's not proving so fruitful for Wisbech, but I think there was, you know, that might always have been the case. Hayville Rovers back in the league, second time. Having beaten Stonemarket last week, they're beaten heavily. Ely City were beaten heavily as well. Ainsby got a brilliant away win in the UCL, away at Leaders Daventry, who've been frightening this season. That's a really good result. Potton were back in winning ways. Got Manchester eventually 1-4-3 against Clacton, having been 3-1 down. Need to kind of stop giving teams head starts, because better teams will take advantage. Lake and Eve won 5-1. As mentioned, Wisbech, St. Mary conspired to lose to Felix, though. Reserves who hadn't won a game. March now won 4 in a row in all competitions. South and Wolne drew yesterday. In the County League, a couple of impressive results. Over and now 9 victories in a row in Senior A. In Senior B, AFC Ballymoe won 9-0. Fulbourne, Great, Shelford and Linton all won again in the Kershaw Prem. So they're the top three positions. Ainsbury Reserves beat Cambridge City Reserves 5-0 in the battle of the top teams. Linton won again. It'd be really interesting this week because we've got the Invitational Cup. I know Histon are obviously involved as well, but we've got a cup. Wisbech against Great Shelford should be really interesting. Newmarket against Brampton and March against Linton. So the Kershaw Prem team's kind of playing some of the furlough none teams. It should be a really interesting matchup. And Mildenhall against Stonemarket as well. Should be a really interesting battle in the Suffolk Senior Cup. And then we got the FA Trophy and FA Vars coming up next couple of weeks. So again, good chance to get to Wembley for our teams. So yeah, I expect this week to be as crazy as ever.
So there you go. On the women's football, we've got Cambridge City Ladies. Their development team beat ICA Sports 3-0, and of course it was Women's FA Cup week for the women. Yeah. The first team beat Accle United 1-0.
Yeah.
And it's the first round proper draw on Monday.
On the one show, I believe.
Oh, right, there you go.
Apparently, Cambridge United women won as well. After penalty shootout?
Well, they certainly did. It was 2-2 after extra time. 2-2 after extra time with Blanche Lauer and Cooper scoring for us, and then ran out winners 4-2 in the penalty shootout. And again, obviously, they go into the draw tomorrow. The development side hosted Millwall Ladies. They lost 3-0. Another tough test for them, but another display full of promises. And then Histon, they played Nettlesham. They took a coach and everything.
To be fair, They were 8-0 down at half time.
So it's a 6-0 I got.
And they only lost 9-0.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, that's not bad.
And they did. They made the point. Lots of character to play through
Absolutely.
To the end when you're that far down. I did look last week. Nettlesham are, I think, are at least one, if not two. I think they're a level above them.
Absolutely.
Or they're certainly doing in the Midlands League. They're doing a lot better. But
yeah.
Yeah, so unfortunately, Histon won't progress into the first round proper, but City and United both will. So we'll be able to watch that on the One Show tomorrow and see.
You know, that's the FA Cup, you know? It's the spirit of the Cup. So near to in the main one, two women's teams, you've got to love the FA Cup.
We had a long chat about this last season because the only thing, and I know this is one of those perennial arguments about women's sport versus men's sport and the prize money, and obviously the crowds are different, the commercial sponsorship's different, but the difference in money between the two is it's just phenomenal how little that the women's game gets from the FA Cup.
It is when you look at it, but then you need to, I think someone said the men's FA Cup, you know, made like a couple of billion pounds in sponsorship, and the women's made like 70 million. But there was a record attendance at the Women's FA Cup final last year, about 40,000 people. I think it's a weird comparison to make, but it's a bit like American soccer in America. These games, like women's football here, are only 20, 30 years old. They're not at a stage where, you know, they'd be expecting to have that growth so quickly. It's embryonic. But I think, you know, a lot of the women who play for our teams are very young, got a lot of teenagers. So the future looks bright, and hopefully those two get a big team. Well, there is a carrot of some of the big names.
Yeah.
And then we see what happens.
Have you been to see much of the women's football over the last couple of seasons?
I haven't, but I saw a couple of them last year, and obviously a lot of them played in my charity match. And I know that the quality is, you know, quite high, to be honest.
So it's interesting. I've been to see quite a few Cambridge United women's games, and one of the things that I've noticed, I mean, first of all, is, and I don't, this is going to sound really patronising and awful, but I was actually quite surprised about the standard of the women's football, having never really watched any, and kind of, you know, like being dismissive of it, like most people are, unfortunately. But the standard is very good. The only thing that really annoys me about it, though, is, and I don't know whether referees are told this, whether they're told to referee it differently, because it's like they're out to protect the players, and you think, well, hang on, you know, they're playing football, they don't want to be mollycoddled, and mollycoddled isn't the word, I see it probably is, you know, they're not allowed to, you know, sometimes you wonder that, you know, tackling has to be done without any contact at all, otherwise the referee blows it up.
It's a bit strange, particularly when you consider that two of the leading referees in this area are women as well, Abby Marriott and Stacey Fullex. It is strange, I have to say. I went to watch the cup final between City and United in the last season. I took my old man, neither of us had watched women's football before, and we both enjoyed it as much as we'd enjoyed any game. It was a really good quality. You know, it is thoroughly enjoyable. I think what I say to anyone about men's football at this level, you don't look at it as non-league football, look at it as football. And I'd say the same about women's. Don't look at it as women's football, look at it as a game of football. And you might surprise yourself, some of the ladies played to a decent level. Vicky Neal plays for Cambridge United Women, amongst others. So, you know, it's a growing game.
Well, there you go. That's almost all we've got time for this week. Let's have a look. Stay on Cambridge 105 Radio. Coming up, we've got 7 o'clock till 8 o'clock. We've got Easy on the Ear, which is Tony Barnfield. He's got 78th birthday tribute to the British singer who sold more than 250 million discs worldwide and is the third best-selling artist in the UK singles chart behind the Beatles and Elvis Presley, with sales in excess of 21 million. Who is it? Come on.
Cliff Richard.
There you go. Born, of course, Harry Rogers Webb. Harry Roger Webb on 14th of October 1940. Tony Barnfield considers the evergreen appeal of Cliff Richard. 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, the Scar and B Show with the Ali Cubs Mods and Ben Phillips. 9 o'clock till 10 o'clock, Rebel Arts Radio. 10 till 11, Tom, David and Ian on Stagger. And then Sunday night rounds out with Opus 105, Seru Sam's classical programme, 11 till midnight. End of an era here in the studio, because this is the last time in a while, possibly forever, that we're going to be joined by Matt, in the studio, that is. Yeah. He'll be still phoning contributions in, but a shift in work patterns means you're not going to be able to make it into the studio again.
But I'd like to thank everyone for the sort of 1 minute we've got. I want to thank everybody you know, who's tuned in, and you know, have to thank Lynchy and Keith, of course, who are always messaging week in, week out. And
yeah, tell them they can't stop just because
they'll still carry on, of course, I'm sure. But you know, big thanks to Tom Taylor, Ben and Chris, my two mates who we first started this show all those years ago. We've had some good laughs, and yeah, no, it is a bit sad, but yeah, I'll still be on the phone, and I'll pop in occasionally.
Excellent. Well, thanks very much for everything that you've done here. And I was going to say some more. What was I going to say? Oh, yes. So watch out for tweets coming out this week. We are going to be looking for people to come into the studio to help out. Had already interest from a couple of United fans. We'll be having a chat with them soon. But Histon and City fans as well, if you want to get in, the kind of coverage here depends on getting people who are interested in the club. So if you want to come along, and it doesn't have to be regular, semi-regular do if we can get a few people involved, but do join us if you can. Watch the tweets. Thanks very much for joining us, and Stu and I will be back next week in the studio. Thanks very much.
Cheers.